Listen to God speak. You know, usually, or many times, when people find out I'm a pastor, many times the first question that they ask is this: how large is your church? And usually my response is, what do you mean, first service or second? Now, they're impressed until I tell them, well, I'm talking about Sunday school and church. But numbers and results seem to be important to us here in America. But you need to understand, they are not the most important thing to God. What's important to God isn't the size of our church. What's important to God is the level of commitment of the church. You know, we spent a lot of time looking at Romans chapter 12. And if you remember, Romans chapter 12 begins with these words from God. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This morning, we want to just take time to look at these three words. As living sacrifice. What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? Who better than Jesus to tell us? I want to look at three lessons that Jesus taught his disciples this morning in the area of being a living sacrifice. Three lessons, matter of fact, that Matthew wrote down in his book. So the first one we're going to look at is Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. So if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, if you've already memorized those 27 books of the New Testament, you know that Matthew comes right after Malachi. Yeah. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. If you turn to that in your Bibles, you're on your iPad or on your phone or wherever you have your Bible. That's right. Amor says you don't even have to memorize the books of the Bible if it's on your iPad. They'll take you right to it. Matthew 16, verse 24 says this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus says, if you're serious, if you really want to be a living sacrifice, if you want to follow me, there's three things you must be willing to do. First one is this. You must be willing to deny yourself. And what does it mean to live a life in denial? Well, you know, sin causes us to live for ourselves. Sin wants us to shift our loyalty from Christ and put our focus on us. When you and I refuse to deny ourselves, we end up making most of our decisions without considering God at all. And when you and I do not involve God in our decisions, we tend to want to keep our lives trouble-free, unruffled, safe, and secure. When we don't include God as part of our decisions, our tendency will be to invest in the here and now instead of looking to invest in eternity. I mean, just think about it with me. We are bombarded with enticements from the world. Everywhere we turn, we see the goals and philosophies of this world trying to get us to adopt their goals and their philosophies. If we want to be a living sacrifice, we must be willing to deny ourselves, no matter what it is God asks of us. Study it out on your own and see if it's not true. Jesus never left open the option of selective denial. When it comes to being a living sacrifice, there are no escape clauses. When it comes to being a living sacrifice, I don't get to tell God, God, I will follow you, except in this area. I don't get to sing the song, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, I'll be what you want me to be, but don't ask me to move. Being a living sacrifice requires a complete and total commitment to Him. Being a living sacrifice, I cannot follow Jesus until I'm willing to deny myself. One of the best-known Protestant theologians of the 20th century was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this: when Christ calls a man, He bids him come and die. Little did Bonhoeffer know that because of his faith, he would later be executed in a German concentration camp. God says you got to deny yourself. Secondly, He says you need to take up your cross. In order to take up a cross, we must understand, first of all, what is meant by your cross. If you're here today and you're living out consequences of poor choices that you've made, that's not your cross. If your children have walked away from God, that's not your cross. If you have some illness that you're struggling with, that's not your cross. To take up your cross is not something that happens to you. To take up your cross is a choice. And it's a choice you must make. It's a choice you must make. Your cross and mine is following God's will for our lives. That's our cross. Our cross is to volunteer to participate in God's plan for my life, no matter what it might cost me. Our missionaries, David and Lena, have chosen to take up their cross. David and Lena have been in Spain for 20 years. And in those, his dad's a pastor here in the States. In those 20 years, David and Lena have been in Spain. David's father has visited them once. There are no regular planned dinners with the family. Their children do not have their grandchildren to spend time with. David's dad is well into his 70s, so they haven't had a chance to watch his parents grow old. None of his siblings have ever been over to help him rebuild the house that they've been working on. One of David and Lena's crosses was to walk away from their family, from their security, from their support, and move to Spain. You know, many of us here this morning, if we'd be honest, we would love to be able to jump from denial to follow. But it doesn't work that way. In order for you and I to be a living sacrifice, you cannot do it without picking up your cross. There's no Christianity, as someone said, without the cross. Now, if you're here this morning and you're expecting God to have different requirements for you, and as your pastor, I need to tell you, you're mistaken. If you believe that you can serve God without a cross, I need to tell you that thought didn't come from Christ. Can I ask you this morning, what's your cross? What is the cross that you are carrying right now? What part of God's will is costing you something? The Apostle Paul, not only did he pick up his cross, Paul says, I rejoice in my cross. He says, now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 24. And the third thing Jesus says, if you're serious about being a living sacrifice, thirdly, you got to follow Him. You got to follow Christ. Remember, when you start your mornings, Jesus doesn't look at your calendar and plan out His day. Jesus does not look at our plans and then ask permission to become involved in our lives. Jesus does not follow us. He says we are to follow Him. We don't pray and ask God to bless our, our plans, we pray and ask God, what is it you want me to do? Being a living sacrifice means that we place our plans, we place God's plans over ours. But then, when you think about it, by the time you get to the point of following him, we've already denied ourselves. We already took up our cross. So we're ready to follow. And when we follow Jesus, he will take us on some of the wildest rides you've ever been on. Judy and I have talked about this on many occasions. We could have never dreamed in 1,000 years the places God has allowed us to go, or the people that God has allowed us to meet, or the ministry opportunities that God has given us. When back in 1981, we decided that, God, we will do whatever it is you want us to do. God, we are willing to go anywheres that you want us to go. God, we will do it no matter where it took us. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Second lesson Jesus teaches about being a living sacrifice is found in Matthew chapter 19. So turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 22. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 22. Verse 16 says this. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good things must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me what is good? Jesus replied. There is only one who is good. If you want to enter eternal life, obey the commandments. And he says, which one? The man inquires. Jesus replied, do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. And love your neighbor as yourself. And this guy's all excited. He says, all these I have kept, the young man said. What do I lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, he says, come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. To be a living sacrifice, Jesus said we must be willing to give up everything. Now, he may not ask us to give up everything, but if he asks, we need to be ready to do it. How you respond to God when he asks you to give something up is a shout out to him. The rich young ruler was pretty impressed with himself. And if we would be honest this morning, if we were to put up his name and put up our name beside his and check off the things that he did and check off the things that we did, chances are he would probably win. When God speaks to you, when God speaks to me, many times when he speaks, it will require a change in our life. This past week, our daughter, Heather, texted Judy and asked if Mom would come down and take care of her four youngest children while she, Josh, and our oldest grandson, Jesse, went on a missions trip to Chile, South America. Now, that requires a change in our schedule, but I got to tell you, it's a change that Judy loves to make. When God says that he wants Judy and I to go overseas every year, that also requires a change in our schedule. It requires a change in our life so that we can afford to go overseas every year. Yet that choice we make concerning how you and I want to invest our time and our money reveals to God where our heart is. And it's no different for you, because Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. Do you know that Jesus spoke more about money than he did heaven and hell combined? Do you ever wonder why? I think the reason why is because Jesus knows. He knows what a draw money and stuff have on our hearts. And when that happens, if we have not denied ourselves, we have a tendency to chase after that money, to chase after that stuff, instead of chasing after God. I didn't realize this until we were in Spain and spent some time with the Philbrooks. But did you know that Lena and David have opted out of Social Security so that they could help pay for those teachers to stay? Right now, they are considering cashing in their retirement to help fund the new building that they need to expand their ministry. And some people hear those things and say, are you crazy? What are you going to do when you retire if you don't have anything in your retirement? Do you know what God says? God looks at them and says, I know where your heart is because I know what your treasure is. Now, will God ask them eventually to give up their retirement? I have no idea. But I do know this. If he does, they're ready. We have 15 men in our church that have committed to reading one Christian book a month. And I got to tell you, for a pastor, that is exciting because that reveals where these guys' hearts are. I've got people reading books that told me they haven't read books in years. And now they're reading at least one Christian book a month. I've had guys come to me and say, Pastor, you know what? I was struggling in this area or I needed to hear from God. And he said, I was reading that book that we're reading. And it's exactly what I needed to hear. I just finished one of those books this week entitled Not a Fan by Carl Eidelman. How many of you have got to that book yet? A few of us. They'll still, for those that haven't, it's in our 15 books that we're reading. But he said this about how he and his wife determined how to give. He said, a few years ago, my wife and I sat down with a goal. We wanted to make sure that the largest check we wrote every month was to the work of God. We looked at our finances and figured out what changes we need to make so that our offering to God was more than our house payment. We wanted to be sure that our finances reflected that nothing was more important to us than following Jesus. The rich young ruler could not bring himself to give it all up for God. And Jesus said that he went away sad. You and I are faced with the same question as the rich young ruler. As God looks at the things you invest your money in, as you think back of how you spent your money this past week, or this past month, or this past 6 months, or this past year, how we choose to spend our money, how we choose to invest our time, will tell God what our treasures really are. See, it's not what we say to God. It's how we live before God that matters to him. And he says, he begs us, Paul says, to be a living sacrifice. I want to contrast, and we'll end up with this, close with this. I want to contrast the young rich man, to the first disciples when Jesus asked them to give it all up. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we'll look at verses 18 to 22. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. It says this. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and Peter, and his brother Andrew. Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in the boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Don't miss this lesson. Jesus calls Peter and Andrew to follow. He says, come follow me. And what does verse 20 say about their response? Look at it. At once. That's right. At once they left their nets. There was no hesitation. There was no, well, what are my parents are going to think? Or what are people going to say about me? Or how am I going to pay my bills? No, they left instantly. Instant obedience. Then Jesus comes across James and John, and when Jesus asked them to follow him, how did they respond in verse 22? Immediately, they left the boat, and they left their dad, and they followed him. The rich young ruler is called by Jesus to follow him, and he refuses. You know what? There is no other mention of him in the Bible. Matter of fact, we don't even know his name. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, when they were called by Jesus, they dropped everything to follow him. And they changed the world. Can I ask you this question this morning? Is God calling you to be a living sacrifice, but you're hesitating? God has called you to be a living sacrifice, but you say, I can't, I'm unwilling to give these things up. Are there things in your life that you're holding back from God? If they are, you know what that says to God? That those things are more important to you than he is. As you look at your life, as you look at how you spend your money, how you invest your time, the choices you're making, based on these three lessons that God has given us this morning, as you look at your life, will you just be a footnote in God's plan? Or will you be like one of the early disciples, that when they were asked to give it up, they immediately gave it all up to follow Christ? These people that are pictured here, the Philbricks, Kyle Eidelman, Bonhoeffer, and my kids, they're not superheroes. They don't have superpowers. They don't go in the phone booth to change their clothes. They don't wear tights. They don't wear capes. They are just normal people that have chosen to live a supernatural life. And you know what? Millions and millions and millions of people have done it before them. My question to you this morning is this. Why won't you? Why won't you? We talked about the love of God. We talked about we praise him because of what he's done for us. And the last song was, last song in that three was, I'm Forever Grateful. You can't sing the song, I'm Forever Grateful, if you're unwilling to be a living sacrifice. What is more important in your life right now than God? Kids? Your house? I saw while we were gone, some house got raided and they had 30 cats. 30 cats in there. Yuck. But it's amazing how our pets can become more important to us than God. Our job. All these things. And you know what? Satan doesn't care what we do, as long as we're not doing what God wants us to do. To be a living sacrifice requires that we put God first. That's the sacrifice. To put God first in our lives. And the living is to live for Him. If God's spoken to you today about becoming a living sacrifice, or maybe He's spoken to you about another area of your life that you need to change, my encouragement to you this morning is don't put it off. Don't put it off. Because if you are not willing to do it now when He speaks to you, there's no reason to believe that you're going to do it later. Matter of fact, God addresses that very thing when He says this. Today, if you heard His voice, do not harden your hearts. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. My encouragement to you today, if God has spoken to you, don't put it off like the rich man we never heard from again. Respond like the disciples. And you have no idea how God will use you. Can you just stop the recording now?